Ms. Green from Georgia for 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Excuse me, Hunter. Apparently, you're afraid of my words.
Whoa.
Here
goes. Oh.
I'd like to reclaim my time, Mr. Chairman.
Kind of burst their bubble. Wow, that's too bad.
I think it's clear and obvious for everyone watching this hearing today that Hunter Biden is terrified of strong conservative Republican women because he can't even face my words as I was about to speak to him. What a coward.
Wow. So I don't know if y'all saw that circus that took place this morning. That was a straight out. I know someone else who thinks that politics begins literally the day that they decided to get a Fox job was saying that that totally was a page. That was out of Trump's book. No, it was actually a page out of Andrew Breitbart's book, because I remember back to the Andrew Breitbart, Anthony Weiner saga. Remember that? And Andrew Breitbart, although he didn't storm in as a stunt, he literally was down the street. And he thought he was going to check out what was happening because there were a bunch of press there. And he literally wandered into this. It was one of the funniest things. It felt like just a skit. It was hysterical, but it wasn't planned. Welcome to the show. Hoo boy. So that's how today's starting. Dana Loesch here with you. You can listen coast to coast. Got the simulcast, everything else. It was a stunt. And so my question, the first thing I thought, too, while Marjorie Taylor Greene was talking to him, the first thing I thought too was this planned? Because the stunt that he did outside of the Capitol when he went in and was holding his little press conference, that was planned because it was Eric Swalwell who reserved that time, and that's why they had the podium set up. That's why they had all of this, you know, set up and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He had that planned. Swalwell had that planned. He was the one who, but they didn't say why they reserved it. They just said that it had been reserved, and that's, you know, but that was planned by the Democrats. They organized that and set that all up. Do you think that they were aware of this? Do you think that they were aware of his outburst and his, do you think that they were, I don't know. Like I was trying to look at some of their faces and I don't know. I just think, you know, just seems a little bit. I don't know. I feel like a couple of them had to have known, but oh my gosh, he thinks he's just hot beans. He really does. Hunter Biden thinks that he's untouchable. He thinks he is untouchable. So it was the House Oversight Committee that did this. And the House Oversight Committee, and it all just went crazy. Everybody went crazy. And you had Raskin, who had his opening statement, and then Marjorie Taylor Greene was the one who came in and later was like, you know, I have a question, et cetera. And then it just went crazy from there. And then you have Hunter Biden. He's just so dramatic. Now, here's why he's yelling about this. He's demanding, Hunter Biden is demanding that they, and we talked a little bit about this before, that they sit him down in public. He wants a whole public thing. He thinks that they are trying to make it to where the public doesn't hear what he says. He wants a public hearing. He wants to answer questions publicly. Now, I've told you this before. I'm going to explain it again just in case people miss that broadcast. The standard procedure for this is that Congress first brings someone in. And it's typically, first, it's usually typically behind closed doors. I mean, if they're going to do it open door, I mean, that's just, you know, but they do it. It's typically a closed door thing. They sit down, they meet with the people that they're going to be questioning and behind closed doors. And then they have the public hearing and they do that to make sure. I shouldn't even have to explain this to, you know, some of the stupid Hunter stands out there, but apparently you do. I mean, that's like typical. They've done that in every. They've done that at everything. They did that with Fauci, too. I mean, they've done it with everything. And then they say, well, you say in your testimony here before this, blah, blah, blah. And they go back and forth and compare and contrast answers. It's like you're deposed first and then you sit down and you answer questions publicly. He wants to skip that process, just like Democrats liked to skip the investigatory process, the investigative process going into impeachment, actually, you know, investigating and finding any whether or not any kind of crime has been committed before you launch, you know, an actual impeachment. They forewent the formal impeachment inquiry, and they just went right into it. They like skipping steps. And so he's acting as though he's trying to pretend that people are stupid enough to believe that that's not the standard operating procedure and that it's unusual for members of Congress to just demand that he sit in front of them publicly. And that's, again, that's not the case. I mean, it's completely standard for him to have gone behind closed doors first and do it. And so he's demanding to skip that process, and he just wants it all public. And he's acting as though that they have something to hide as opposed to him. And I just, he does not have the high horse to do this on. He really doesn't. I have to say, I love the fact that Taylor Greene told him that he was, quote, the epitome of white privilege to his face. Golly, that's like a Christmas present that I forgot was under the tree, right? Gosh, it's amazing. So it just descended into chaos, just to complete and total chaos. It was beautiful to watch. I mean, I keep watching all these videos, and I'm trying to watch Raskin's face because I just feel as though some of them had to have known that he was going to come in there. I mean, I feel like they had to have known, right? Am I just overthinking it? There's no way that he does this outburst and they don't know.
I mean, if I knew that they're filming some sort of documentary or whatever.
Oh, that's right. That's right. There, for the people who don't know, he's got a camera crew following him doing a documentary.
So I would expect something like what we saw this morning.
I can already see the trailer. That'll already be part of the trailer. And they're going to act like, oh, Hunter Biden. Look at what's happening here, Hunter Biden. And they're going to have all the theatrical music. That's, goodness. So that's how everything started today. And then you had Moskowitz and Comer going back and forth because Moskowitz was trying to claim that apparently, oh, you're just doing this to beat up Hunter Biden. I mean, gosh, this is just so stupid. This is so damn stupid. So they had all the, you know, all of the press scrum as he's trying to leave, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm wondering, too, because I think he should be held in contempt. And that's what they're actually determining right now. They've, you know, found out they're making this determination right now. I really do feel like he should be held in contempt because you can't just sit here and ignore, you know, subpoenas. You can't, that's not something that you can do. You can't just ignore them. They have the full weight of the law. They were issued by Congress. They have the full weight of the court issuing a subpoena to come and testify. So is that going to be the standard that they're going to allow to be set? That if someone like Hunter Biden wants to completely ignore a subpoena, that others can do it as well? I mean, go back to some of the J6 stuff. Go back to, you know, other things as well. So, I mean, is that going to be, so it's just going to be up to the preference of the person who has been petitioned, whether or not they're going to ignore or honor the subpoena. Is that the rule of law that Democrats want established just to save this flabby, almost 60-year-old crackhead's hide? I mean, I feel like that's a legitimate question. So yeah, he's sitting there at this hearing, and then he does this stunt. Storms out, makes a big deal because Green was trying to ask him a question. Gets all mad, and then he's got his whole entire, I'm looking at this in another angle, his entire film crew, the documentary film crew. Don't you have to have special permission to be in there? Whoa, 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 whoa. Do you have to have special permission to bring your own camera crew in there?
I think it's under the First Amendment. I think you can do it.
No, but I mean, I'm just, because wouldn't it be considered disruptive? The reason I'm asking this is because if he had a film, I'm going to ask a friend of mine who knows, if you have to have permission for it, then that means he got permission for it. And that means people obviously absolutely knew that he was going to have this big field day and he was going to do, because if you're bringing a film crew in there with you, you're not just going to sit there and you're going to stage a stunt. I just think it just gets into, it shows how desperate he is. I do think because this is going to get dragged out by Republicans to the election, and they should do that, because every single time you have Joe Biden going on television, or if heaven forbid, if he has a debate or anything like that, they can bring this up. I mean, hell, they can schedule something and ask him some questions and drag this out and make another maneuver and just make it news every single time that Joe Biden does something, and they can follow him all over the campaign trail with headlines on this, and they can throw stuff in everybody else's faces. Someone had made a point too, because Democrats have been hemorrhaging black voters. And this is actually something that started, I think it began predating 2016. It really sped up between 2016 and 2020. And it's continued to do that. Black and Hispanic voters, Democrats have been hemorrhaging them. I think that Joe Biden going out there and saying that you're not black unless you vote for me hasn't been helpful. But I'm wondering, because someone else brought up cases of, you know, black Americans going to jail for like less, you know, in terms of tax evasion or drug charges. And the name was thrown out, Wesley Snipes. It was Wesley Snipes that went to jail for tax evasion, wasn't he? How much did he go to jail for? Somewhere like that. Because I remember it being, and I looked at this once already, I remember it being less than what Hunter Biden is apparently the amount that he's apparently owes and is evading having to pay tax on. So how is that going to look if you have the same government? Joe Biden was in elected office and Wesley Snipes went to jail for tax fraud. You send Wesley Snipes to jail, but you're not going to send Hunter Biden to jail? Oh man, Republicans, y'all better be seizing on that. You better be seizing on that. Well, that's that white privilege that they always talk about, isn't it? It's the white privilege. So coming up, Kirby and Ducey got an argument. I mean, John Kirby got so mad. He called Ducey Bub. You just give me a second here, Bub. Isn't that what people call their kids? Sometimes like nicknames for their kids. Because the Lloyd Austin hospitalization, as we were talking about towards the end of yesterday's show, turns out prostate cancer, any kind of surgeries for that doesn't really sound elective. They made it sound like it was just no big deal. And they didn't even notify the White House, which, can you imagine skipping out on work, having a sick day, not notifying anybody? We're going to discuss that more on 2024. I totally forgot this. I literally LOL'd over this headline. Asha Hutchinson reminds Iowans that he's still running. He is still in the race, and he can't make the debate stage or anything, but he hasn't bowed out. That's hysterical. I'm cracking up over that.
Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like leaving your laptop exposed, just wide open at the coffee shop while you like run to the register or run to use the restroom. I mean, most of the time, you're probably going to be okay. But what if one day you come back and, you know, your laptop is gone or someone's there browsing through all your stuff? I mean, every single time you connect to an unencrypted network, if you're at an airport or a hotel, anywhere, anybody on the same network can gain access to your personal data, things like your financial details, your passwords. And it doesn't take a lot of technical know-how to just like hack somebody. I mean, some cheap hardware is needed and a mildly intelligent 12-year-old could do it. Your data is valuable because your info can get sold on the dark web. So this is why you need to use ExpressVPN. First off, you got an encrypted tunnel. It creates a secure encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet so people can't steal your sensitive data and then sell it. And it would take somebody with a supercomputer over like a billion years to get past ExpressVPN's encryption. Super easy to use. You just fire up the app, you click on one button, get protected, and it works on all your devices. So like when I'm traveling, I'm sure there's stuff that, you know, even anime, if I want to watch it, that I can get using ExpressVPN. Things that are only available outside of the US, it just gives you more freedom to choose while also staying protected online. So secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/Dana. That's expressvpn.com/Dana. And you can get an extra 3 months free. ExpressVPN.com/Dana.
Biden still wants more of your money. This time, it's called a perpetuity tax. The more you make, the more you pay in, even though you get taxed already from your income. Small businesses will get waxed without seeing the money they actually put in. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Oh my gosh, we have more from the Hunter Biden stuff. Someone asked him if he was on what kind of crack he smokes, and I'm dead. Also, scientists discovered that there's 5 types of Alzheimer's, and they are hopeful that these discoveries, maybe the breakthroughs, could lead to a cure. They say there are subtypes that are different in with abnormal proteins, progression, and life expectancy. So they say that there's 5 different types, subtype 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. And they get into brain cell growth, the overactive immune system contributing to it, RNA dysregulation. There's a lot of very interesting stuff. So they think that this is a huge breakthrough. It's going to really, really help in finding remedies or, you know, maybe curing it altogether. Pressure is building on Substack to stop paying. They're saying it's Nazi writers. To stop doing revenue sharing with Nazi writers. Now, my question is, having not seen any of these supposed Nazi writers that they're claiming exist on Substack, I'm just wondering, because everyone, the left considers everybody a Nazi. I mean, remember, if you didn't support Obamacare, I literally had an elected official refer to me on CNN as a Nazi sympathizer because I did not support Obamacare. That honest to heavens happened. So I'm like, what is a Nazi? Do they know what a Nazi is? I mean, it's a revenue sharing thing. Substack does not promote you. It's just a facilitator. It's like a platform. It's like anything else. That's all it is. They say that writers keep their sales. They take something off the top, etc. I think you need to leave companies alone. And especially, I don't believe the left is the arbiter or really good with word definitions. So, I don't know. So the menthol ban, this is a big thing that's still happening. The menthol ban is dividing health, criminal, and criminal justice advocates, which is fascinating. Criminal justice advocates say that it is going to lead to over-policing in black neighborhoods. And before you say that menthol cigarette bans would do that, just remember, wasn't it Eric Garner that was killed because of he was selling Lucy cigarettes in New York? And that's what ended up happening. He was killed because of the Lucy law that was passed by New York City Council. That's actually true. They literally 6 months prior said that they wanted a more rigorous enforcement of Lucy laws because single cigarette sales were cutting into tax revenues for New York. Go look it up. So they said that menthol cigarettes, I actually do think that there's something to that. It could actually lead to over-policing of certain demographics. But also, why is the government getting involved in telling you what you can and can't smoke or can and can't drink? I mean, and let's leave people alone. This is the government. They couldn't even make a health portal work, for crying out loud. Stop. You guys lost a jet. Come on. They did. So the SEC says it hasn't yet approved Bitcoin ETF and that the X account was compromised. So they said that it was the SEC Gov account on Twitter or X. They said it was compromised, that the unauthorized tweet regarding Bitcoin ETFs had not yet been made by the SEC or its staff, despite the fact that they tweeted out such. They said that the price of Bitcoin spiked briefly after the initial post and then quickly slid below 46,000. So yeah, they said it was compromised. Was it, though? I feel like that was a draft that went out. That's what it... So, the Messenger says that Elon Musk is suspending prominent journalists and influencers. And the effect, they said it's a bunch of leftist people, people like The Intercept and others. The accounts were reinstated hours later, but they said that they were suspended because they had criticized Musk. Wait a minute. Now you guys are concerned about that stuff? Like, what about when somebody like me was suspended because of the New York Post story I shared? Stay with us. Our friends over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country, they want to save you money while also making sure that your money doesn't fund the things that you vote against every single time you go to the ballot box. For 10 years, they've been the only Christian conservative wireless provider in America. Now, they want to make sure that you can get a plan affordable for you and your family in this era of Biden inflation. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you can get free activation using code Dana, and you also can work with a member of their 100% U.S.-based customer service team. You're creating and maintaining U.S.-based jobs. Keep your phone and your number or upgrade. The choice is yours. And enjoy coverage, dependable, nationwide coverage on all three major networks. Get the best service in your area without funding the left. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. Use promo code Dana to get free activation. Make the switch today. That's 972-PATRIOT, patriotmobile.com/Dana.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
First of all, my first question is, who bribed Hunter Biden to be here today? That's my first question. Second question, you are the epitome of white privilege, coming into the Oversight Committee, spitting in our face, ignoring a congressional subpoena to be deposed. What are you afraid of? You have no balls to come up here and...
Mr. Chairman, point of inquiry.
Mr. Chairman,
if the gentlelady wants to hear from Hunter Biden, we can hear from him right now, Mr. Chairman. Let's take a vote and hear from Hunter Biden. What are you afraid of?
Hold on. Order.
Are women allowed to speak in here or no? Are women allowed to speak in here or no? Because you keep interrupting me.
I'll interrupt the chairman. I don't know that he's a lady.
I think that Hunter Biden should be arrested right here, right now, and go straight to jail. Our nation is founded on the rule of law. And the premise that the law applies equally to everyone, no matter what your last
point of order, Mr. Chairman. Point of order.
It doesn't matter who you are.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman. Biggs over
Donald
here.
Donald Trump Jr.
Biggs over here.
State your point, Mr. Biggs.
Yeah, my point of order is this. Are we going to continue on with this blatant interruption? This is absurd and inappropriate. I intend to give my statement. I don't intend to have anybody interrupt it. I'm not going to interrupt your statements. I think you should have decorum and courtesy and don't act like a bunch of nimrods.
You just interrupted a woman.
And that's five.
I got permission.
Can we agree? Everyone has 5 minutes.
I will say it's what Hunter Biden's lawyer said.
Point of order again. The assertion that I interrupted was absolutely false. That's typical of the gentleman who spoke it. I got permission to speak from the chairman.
Annoying.
I spoke. I was interrupted yet again by the gentleman who doesn't choose to go through the chair and follow proper order. I encourage us. I think if we're going to have any respect at all, we need to have proper decorum.
This is so stupid.
Well, you're well said.
Andy Biggs talking back. First off, welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this first hour. So that was, I'm not a Nancy Mace fan because I think ever she tries to be edgy and it just doesn't work. Her earrings are huge. Not that I don't like huge earrings. It's just jarring, you know, when you're at a hearing and you're in a bright blue, like, you know, limited cut top. And I don't know, she's big earrings on. Anyway, this is why I could never be a member of Congress. But also, I could never be a member of Congress because if I was James Comer, I would get my happy backside up off the chair and I'd be slapping people for talking. I can't deal with this. I don't have the patience to deal with, like, these people are brats. I don't have the... And I like, I mean, Mace was making a point and then she slid into, let me get my soundbite. I want to go viral on Fox tonight, so let me get my soundbite. Balls. She, like, slid into that. It's like, you really didn't... What's the purpose? I mean, you gave him an opening. You gave him an opening. Never make your opponent look more stable or more serious than you do. I just thought that was, and you could tell that she wasn't fully committed to doing that because she stumbled right after she said balls, right after the L and S left her mouth. She was just like, she just stumbled. Right? You know I'm right in my assessment. She wasn't fully committed. Like, if you're going to go full on that, then you better go balls to the wall, right? Like, like I just did. You got to commit, right? Especially if you're going to be sitting there in Congress. You got to really commit to this. So it's like she was trying to be really edgy. And, you know, what she could have done and what would have been the smarter thing to do was she could have used her time and instead of trying to say, you know, a naughty word, she could have used her time to say, you know, Hunter Biden and his legal team insist that they are here and they've shown up and they're ready to talk, except they haven't wanted to follow standard operating procedure as everyone else does, as Anthony Fauci has done, as even J6ers have done in that whole investigation. All of this, they haven't followed standard operating procedure and have met with members of Congress behind closed doors so that we could make sure that this is expedited and runs as smoothly as possible. They have absolutely denied that because then he would have no diversions. He would have to be answering questions and that would have to go on record. And that is exactly what he objects to because he knows that he is compromised. And if he has to answer any question at all whatsoever in response to the subpoena and have his answers go on record, he knows then that anything that he says can and would be held against him. That's what she should have said. Because that's the point that needed to be drug out into front of the public instead of going, well, balls. You know, I mean, she's just not graceful with this stuff. Like, don't do the stunt unless you're like fully committed to it. Right. Because then it allowed Hunter Biden's attorney to interrupt. And then she went, are you interrupting a woman? I can't stand when people do that. I cannot stand when people do it. And some of these people on our Republican side need to stop it. No, they interrupted you because you're a member of Congress. It had nothing to do with what's between your legs. Shut up. I'm so tired of this. I interrupted a woman. And that's why I thought it was funny that Biden's attorney was like, you just interrupted a woman to Andy Biggs. Do you see how many times you guys let him have two openings? You let that guy have two openings. This is, I mean, if you're going to do this, this is rhetorical warfare. You got to be better than that. Allowed him two openings. Good grief. That's what aggravates me. Am I being too harsh, Kane? Tell me if you think I'm being too mean.
No. I mean, I hear it. It's uncomfortable.
When I did interviews like on gun stuff, like when I was doing 2A advocacy, before I would go, and this is just what I always did. Whenever I debate someone, I will research you like a stalker. And I find all of your ticks. I find out how to push all your buttons. I've done this even just going one-on-one on CNN or whatever. And I've done this with everybody. And, you know, doing, you know, 2A advocacy stuff and having to do interviews like the Stephanopoulos thing, for instance. I knew Stephanopoulos because I'd been on ABC election night coverage before a few years prior. So, you know, I was familiar with him. We weren't like, we were literally only on ever set together. And I knew that he was going to be coming spitfire at me. And this was in the wake of Parkland. So I was very, very prepared. And I also knew how to thread my answers together without taking a single breath so that you couldn't edit my sentence out of context and that you couldn't interrupt me. And so I never gave him opportunity to interrupt me. You can go back and watch my ABC interview on that. And he just kind of had to sit there. But I did a lot of legwork on that. And I made sure that I knew exactly how he spoke and exactly I would watch his face to find out when he was going to interject and interrupt guests, because I didn't want anyone to have any kind of opening. You have to approach something like this with that same level of seriousness and severity, because this is about the direction of the country, and you're talking about the president's son, and whether or not you know you're going to hold him in contempt of court because he ignored a subpoena issued by Congress, which is has you know the full effect and force of the law, full weight of the law. So you can't sit here and be like, "Well, balls," or "Don't interrupt a woman." I mean, this is. If you think that this is the fight that is worth having, then you need to treat it as a serious fight worth having. And I just get tired of all these stupid stunts that allow for these people that are ideological opponents to have daylight so that they can wedge through some sort of stupid objection like he just did. Do you think Hunter Biden's attorney would have been able to object and go, "Oh, see, he's right here taking questions." Mace could have immediately neutered that. And she didn't. That's on her. That's a poor showing. This is what I'm talking about. And now if it comes, now you lost your chance. He did his stunt. Now everyone's only talking about his stunt. You could have controlled that room. You anticipate, you know exactly what their objections are going to be, and you rip apart their narrative the first syllable that you get to come out of your mouth. You don't sit here and waste your time grandstanding so you can get a viral video clip. This is one of the reasons why I hate Congress. This isn't entertainment. If you jackholes want to sit here and be entertainers, go to Hollywood. If you don't make it on Hollywood, then go to OnlyFans. I'm tired of you people treating DC like it's a theater stage. So tired of it. I'm a woman, and I'm telling you to stop it. Because you missed a golden opportunity here. Fruitcake sitting right there with his stupid documentary crew and his annoying, you know, lawyer. Well, you know, he's here ready to talk and answer questions right now. Will he? Because he's not, because he's refused to follow the first step of standard operating procedure whenever we've done anything like that, because he knows that if he answers a single question behind closed doors, that could be held against him before he gets out here in public in front of all of you. That's what he's afraid of. Next. I think we need to demand better people to represent us in D.C. Honestly. I'm just tired of this stuff. Let me wear my big earrings. I hope I do sound mean because I'm tired of this stuff. I'm not here to be nice. I'm a voter and I'm dissatisfied with what I see my subordinates representing me in D.C. So if I sound mean, it's because I'm being American. And people who think I'm mean are being un-American and that they think that we're not supposed to hold our subordinates, these elected officials, to a higher standard and that we can't criticize their job performance. If you believe that, then you can kindly go and find another place to live where you have less representation and less freedom to determine your future. Because clearly this animating spirit of liberty is not setting well with you. So this, he was in there for 17 minutes. 17 minutes. He didn't look well, did he? No. Was he high? He didn't look well. He looked ashy and like ashen and his skin looked horrible. He looked just bad. He had a bad complexion. He had dark circles. He didn't look well. And you could be like, it's the stress or it's the crack. Do you think that he realized? I liked what Kane said on break because I said, I feel like he got nervous when he got out because he had this like big stunt, and then he storms out, and because they weren't expecting him to show up to the hearing, he shows up. So that was part one of his stunt, and then he storms out 17 minutes later, part two, and then all of a sudden he's out in the hallway with the reporters in the media scrum. I don't know if you saw his face, but dude, he was over his head, and he realized that he was over his head. Like, his face was crazy. He had the, like, we got this audio. Listen to this audio. Soundbite 15. Just listen to some of the questions they were hitting him with.
Could you please, I'll answer your question if you be quiet and let me make a statement, okay?
What kind of crack do you normally smoke, Mr. Biden? Let me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's crazy. What kind of, I loved, can I hear that one more time? Because the reporter was so serious. You know that this dude's writing a story on Hunter's preferred brand of crack. Get his look. I just got to hear it again.
Could you please, I'll answer your question if you be quiet and let me make a statement, okay?
What kind of crack do you normally smoke, Mr. Biden?
That was just a very, what kind of crack do you normally smoke, Mr. Biden? Is there like a brand, a sidebar? I have known nothing about crack. Is there like a particular brand? You know how like the weed people, like there's all these strains of weed? Is there? Can I have a sidebar to my sidebar? I don't believe the government should tell you what to consume or whatever. I don't care. I just want to have my guns and have my money on tax and be left alone. Anyway, is it really all that different, or did they lie to you? Are they just all high and they just are too high to know and they think they've got it convinced in their heads that there's all these different strains? Because I'm sorry, it has turned into like a Portlandia skit, the marijuana stuff. Like, this is Our Lady Lavender Lace. This strain is for relaxation and all that. And I have no idea how that's even possible, but it's hysterical to me. So is crack, are they doing the same thing with crack?
What's real are the strains for marijuana. What isn't real, strains of crack.
Okay.
There's only crack.
There's only just the crack,
the one crack.
It's not like
you're growing crack and you're taking a male crack plant and crossbreeding it with a female crack plant. That's not how that works.
I mean, the way that people talk about like the marijuana strains, it's like wine. Like, they're like sommeliers. I don't know what you would call that for the marijuana people.
I just don't know
people.
What kind of crack do you prefer.
Yeah, what kind of crack do you prefer? I mean, is there like a grain? You know how like different, you know, if you're like...
I guess there's stronger and... I watch Breaking ammo. Bad. I've seen Breaking Bad. I guess there's more potent and less potent.
I've never watched Breaking Bad.
What?
Yeah. I've never watched it.
Really?
Isn't that the show about the meth?
It is.
So what did you learn about from crack from that?
Well, look, there's just like with any drug, especially a hard drug like that, there's literally, it's not like you're breeding it. It's either potent or not as potent. That's not like a strain.
Drugs 101 with Kane. I literally have no idea. Like, I don't even know. Okay, so here's, don't laugh at me. This is how much I don't know about drugs. So there's cocaine and then there's crack, right?
Right.
So I know we got to get going. Steve's dying. Oh my gosh, we got to play that other soundbite too. You guys are killing me. Is crack like the great value version of cocaine?
No.
Okay. Because I remember Whitney Houston, she said crack is whack, and she was like offended when someone asked her if she smoked crack instead of cocaine. And it was like, she felt like it was offensive because that's, you know, the downgraded. Yeah.
You have to cook crack into
poor
existence.
Version.
Yeah. You have to make crack into existence.
Okay.
With
so
cocaine.
Last question. So it comes in a rock form. You just said cook it. Is that what like the poor drug users have to do? Because
it's,
do you have to chip it?
To,
is yeah. it like a prospecting? You got to chip your drugs off the rock?
Everybody,
like, I don't know.
Everybody who wants crack has to cook it.
Okay. I literally don't know about this. I would love, that's why that reporter's question, I was actually interested in that. I'm like, yes, what kind of cocaine do you do or imbibe, however one does it? I mean, I don't know. I mean, is that the one with the spoons and the foil that you see in the cop shows?
Crack? Yeah.
Oh, but you don't do the cocaine like that.
Yeah, you kind of can. I've seen it.
I clearly need to, I don't know enough about drugs. Hunter.
It's time to break.
Okay, I know. Long story short, I was interested in that reporter's very serious question. Coming up, the audio soundbite 28 is just killing me, or 21 is killing me. I gotta play that for you here coming up. All right, as we get moving, our partners, over a Florida-based company, Kel-Tec, the R50. I have the P50. Love the P50. It's an awesome 5.7. That's a 5.7 pistol. Comes in several variants. Now, the R50 is awesome because this thing, it's like takes the same magazines as a P50, but it's carbine. So you have the ambicide folding stock. You got the 16-inch threaded barrel, great ballistics, 7 inches of rail space up top. So you got a lot of optic options. You got rail space on the bottom for accessories and also several variants, hunting series, personal defense, all of that. It ships with two standard capacity 50-round double stack mags that loads horizontally along the top. And just like the P50, it's light, it's well-balanced, super easy to manipulate. It's one of my favorites, actually. It's great on the range, great for serious home protection as well. So learn more about the new R50 carbine at keltecweapons.com. KELTECweapons.com. Tell them that Dana sent you.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Appreciate the passion from my friend across the aisle and the outrage. I think we're all outraged about many things. But if we're going to talk about outrageous things that have happened or things that have never happened, let's talk about the fact that President Trump incited an erection. And maybe that too.
Yeah, you could talk about that too, I guess.
Hey,
maybe
Kane,
we
did
should
she
talk
get a-
about that too. The president.
Is that what she's talking about? Is she talking about a... What? Where are you all writing me? I asked you a question.
We're live is why.
Yeah, but I censored myself.
Yeah, okay.
The erection.
Premier Jayapal. He incited an erection. Lady, I think we're getting a little bit too much info from you. Just saying. These are like, I'm so grossed out.
Is the word insurrection that difficult when you're congressional? Because how many times have we, I mean, how many Congress people have said this now?
A million of them.
Right.
How hard is it to have your mouth make the correct words? Don't answer that question. So coming up, Hunter Biden is asked, do you have a dad? It's, gosh, I can't deal with this. This is so great. Or he asked, we got a lot. Stay with us. People who help bring you free radio. It's our friends over at Black Rifle Coffee. Everything else is commie swill. There's a lot of pretenders out there. Don't make no mistake. There are a lot of people that say they do what Black Rifle Coffee does, but you know what they do? They roast their beans in foreign countries and import them and white label them. That's not what Black Rifle Coffee does. Their stuff is roasted 5 days, actually 6 days a week, isn't it? In Tennessee and Utah, they get the best beans possible. And if you join the coffee club, they deliver it fresh to your door. This veteran-owned coffee company not only works and gives back and donates a lot of time and money to veterans, they employ active duty as well, and their families, and they just make the best coffee that you can purchase. And it's actually more affordable than the bougie stuff that's on the supermarket shelves. You can join their coffee club, never, ever run out of your brew again. And you can get 30% off of your first subscription order using code Dana. So you pick your coffee and your quantity, AK-47 espresso is one of my favorites. Thin Blue Line, their supportive police. The medium roast, that's great. Freedom Fuel Dark Roast is really awesome. Silencer Smooth, that's awesome as well. I have a lot of favorites. But anyway, you pick your coffee and your quantity, and then you set up your delivery schedule, and you're done. That's it. You never, ever run out of coffee. And you can also get grinders, mugs, kettles, apparel, all kinds of stuff for that perfect brew. So visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Join that Black Rifle Coffee Club today. Get 30% off your first order, your first month with code Dana. So start saving money on high quality coffee roasted here by vets in the USA. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
That's another thing. We subpoenaed Hunter Biden, and our committee worked with Hunter Biden's attorneys and agreed on a date for him to come in for a transcribed interview, which is exactly how all committees work in Congress. You always start with a transcribed interview with a witness, and then you hold a public hearing. So we had completely agreed with his attorneys, transcribed interview first, that's what the subpoena was for, and then we were going to hold a public hearing. But Hunter Biden has done nothing but try to twist and spin and lie about this entire thing. And I am
See, this is how it should have gone. I wish Green had been able to ask questions first because Nancy Mace flubbed it. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, top of the second hour. And of course, Marjorie Taylor Greene is talking about the chaos that took place in the hearing that Republicans had as to whether or not they're going to hold Hunter Biden, which they should, vote to hold him in contempt of court because they subpoenaed him to come and answer questions before Congress. and he ignored the subpoena. Now, what she's talking about is the standard operating procedure. You have a transcribed interview. That happens with everybody. And they're insisting that that is, oh, Republicans are trying to be sneaky and they're trying to make it to where this isn't transparent, when no, they've already made the agreement. And that is how it always goes. You do the transcribed interview, then you have the public hearing. That's how it always is. Hunter Biden's trying to play upon people's lack of awareness of this procedure and act as though, well, it's Republicans being sneaky as a way to deflect from his own offenses. Welcome back, as I said, to the program. You can listen coast to coast, stream the radio show, watch the simulcast, 347 channel, DirecTV, YouTube, Facebook, all of that. I was very critical of Nancy Mace earlier because I'm not going to play the soundbite again, but she was asking questions. It was gone. It was like 17 minutes into the hearing and Hunter Biden showed up. They didn't know he was going to show up. So he sits there for 17 minutes. And then he has this big stunt in him and all of his documentary film cameras walk out. But I'm mad because I feel like Nancy Mace was trying to go for her viral cable news moment. She wanted to have this big viral moment instead of actually making a salient point. She decided to do this very stupid theatrical stunt where she was like, "You just don't have any balls." That's what she said. And we played the interview. I don't want to play it again. And And she was like flubbing it because she realized how stupid it was and wasn't fully committed to it. And then it all descended into chaos when you should have right out of the gate said what Marjorie Taylor Greene just said right there. And then just said, why are you? And she could have asked, why are you trying to mislead people about the standard operating procedure that's been afforded to everyone from Anthony Fauci to even people in the J6 investigation? That's what she could have asked. And you know what? You would have robbed him of his moment to stunt. You would have robbed him of that moment. And instead, Mace just opened it right up. Opened it right up by doing that. And then she was like, why are you interrupting a woman? And then allowed another interjection from his attorneys. Just stupid. Just so stupid. If you want to be famous, go to Hollywood. If you want to represent the people, then you go to Washington, D.C. But you can't want to be in Hollywood and be in D.C. It's not how this works. And I'm aggravated because there was a missed opportunity there. And it was a missed opportunity to publicly, nationally destroy that narrative in front of him. Can I play this, though? He goes out in the hallway, and I don't think he was betting on this. Audio soundbite 21. This is crazy. Listen.
Are you on crack today?
Mr. Biden, why did you put your dad on speakerphone with your business partners if you had no involvement in your business?
Wow. Do you have a dad? Does he call you? Do you answer the phone? What does that have to do with you putting your dad on speakerphone during a business meeting that you said he was completely unaware of and hadn't talked to and didn't have him on speakerphone during a business meeting? What the hell does that have to do with that? What a stupid thing to say. How so dumb? But you know what? But you know what, though? Now you know what pushes his buttons. You got one clue as to what pushes his buttons. If you just just maximize that, right? There's a weak spot. Just keep out. Why did you have your dad? At some point, he's going to say something stupid because Democrats usually do. They can't play the long game with this kind of stuff because the pressure gets to them and they get too emotional. And it's so easy. As long as you remain cool and chill and you don't try to see. I'm just still so mad about the May soundbite. Is it obvious? But as long as you remain cool as a cucumber, you know, it's all good. When he walked out there and he realized, there are a couple of different screenshots where his face is all, what? Oh, man. Oh, okay, I love all of these. I just love all of these. It's so great. So this is one thing. I want to switch gears here because we've been talking about this. Because in addition to that, I do want to get into the Mayorkas impeachment hearing. Can we talk about what's happening? I want to totally switch gears. Totally switch gears. John Fetterman has a stroke. And comes back as a conservative. Now, I just noticed that his wife is on a 3-week social media sabbatical, self-declared, kind of. I don't know. Are you really taking a break from social media when you're jumping on your break from social media, telling everyone that you're taking a break from social media? I don't know. Anyway, John Fetterman, he was asked about Hamas. I have to play audio soundbite 13 for you. because, wow, listen.
I would ask anyone, if anyone that believes in a ceasefire, I would just say, let's call for Hamas to surrender and put down their guns. And then that would end all of the misery and the killing and everything. I believe to be on the right side for Israel on this. And I believe that we will never have peace or a stable two-state solution unless we destroy Hamas.
He didn't even sound like he had a stroke. Do you notice that he sounds like he has a stroke when it seems like he's reading other people's words or trying to recite other people's words? That's interesting. He sounded completely fine. That's the best I've ever heard him. Oh my gosh. I don't know what this, right? Right? I feel like people were trying to take advantage of his health condition and use him as basically a vessel. And now he's getting his own, now he's got his own mind about him and he's recovering. And I don't know. It just seems like as he recovers from a stroke, he got more conservative. I don't know how to put it. Kane,
the healthier he got?
Yeah, the healthier
he got, the more conservative he
and the became. More recovered his brain became. I don't know.
I'm in my head, I'm trying to contrast it with what I think Dr. Oz would have done if he was elected. Would he have spoken
Turkish citizenship?
Yeah, would he have spoken this clearly about Israel and Hamas?
No.
I don't think
he was one of the worst candidates that has ever been selected and backed by all the establishment in the Republican Party.
When Fetterman was elected, that I was, oh boy.
Dude, I'm going to forget. Folks. He's got a pass for me for right now.
Yeah.
On hoodies and shorts. I don't know about the Steelers hat.
It's like the last 2 months. Has he said anything that I disagree with in the last like month and a half?
Oh my gosh. Kane, don't ask that question. No, we can't. Dude, stop.
I'm just trying to be honest.
We can't agree with someone who is a Democrat. That much.
That's tribalism.
No. It's scientific. It's scientific.
Is it science?
Yes.
Okay. As long as it's science, then.
Oh, my gosh. Is it contagious?
What, having a smart take on things? I hope so.
I mean.
I sure hope so.
I get nervous about agreeing with somebody that much who's on the other side of things. I'm like, wait a minute. He said something that I agree with about Hamas. What? Wait a minute. He said something I agree with about that. What?
So does that make two Democrat senators moderates?
I mean, yeah. He sounds like a moderate. And they can't say anything to him because then they hate people that have had strokes. Right. I don't know, man. You got the shadow people in Miami and I got Fetterman saying this stuff. I don't even know what's happening right now. And then you got this crazy stuff in Ecuador. Have you seen this? They've declared a civil war. They're in a state of civil war right now. Peru called for a state of national emergency because it was spilling over to their border. Audio Sunday 14, a cartel literally took over an Ecuadorian television station. This is some of the video and audio of it. It's wild. Pointed a gun right at this guy on live television. The armed cartel. They say Ecuadorians now are flooding to the United States. The country's descended into a civil war. They said that because it's cartel gangland stuff. They said that they're going to see a huge spike. They saw a 371% increase just from 2022 alone. And they're looking, what ended up happening is you had this guy, Adolfo Macias, who's the leader of this gang down there. He was in a low security prison. They were getting ready to transfer him to a maximum security prison. And he magically got out. He just, you know, magically got out. So they're looking for him and the leader of this other gang, Los Lobos. His name is Fabricio Pico, who also escaped prison Tuesday. And he was in jail because of his involvement in this whole plot to assassinate the attorney general of Ecuador. And so now all hell has broken loose. It is wild. So they said it's a civil war. They've got the cartel thugs. The president of Ecuador ordered the army into the streets. He declared a state of internal armed conflict. Criminals have been rampaging. The president, Daniel Noboa, 36, ordered the state of emergency. By the way, that's a very young president. 36 years old, you're a baby. I think if you're under 50, you're a baby in politics. But I also think that if you're over 50, you're elderly in politics. So I don't know. So they said that they've had now, in the wake of this, they've had a series of attacks, explosions, police officers are being abducted. They got the state of emergency and they've declared it a state of civil war. And they basically have two gangs that are doing all this. So, and then Peru declared an emergency yesterday along its northern border because of the ongoing violence in Ecuador. So the State Department's like, they're very concerned. The British Foreign Office already told people, get out, do not travel to parts of Ecuador, get out, get out, get out. But yeah, they had bombs, they had guns, they had all kinds of stuff. And they got the Ecuador army out in the streets because it's crazy. So one of the guys that is behind this, he was drug trafficking, murder, organized crime. He was in jail for 34 years. And then the other guy is the one who was going to assassinate the attorney general of Ecuador. And they have links with the Sinaloa cartel. So they're very well tied in with Mexico's Sinaloa cartel, according to all like British, American, Mexican authorities. And they say that the gang members, I mean, they essentially rule. It doesn't matter if they're in prison or not. They still rule from inside a prison. And they think that Macias was the guy. He was the guy who was the drug trafficking guy, murder, 34-year sentence. They said that he was still controlling. It didn't matter if he was in jail in a 34-year sentence. He was still controlling his gang from the inside of prison. And so they were preparing for all of this. He escaped back in, Macias escaped back in 2013 from jail. How did these people escape from jail? Escape, air quotes, escape from jail in 2013. And he was recaptured some weeks later. His girlfriend a couple of years ago was arrested. Now you tell me this. She spent somehow unknowingly a week sleeping in his jail cell. His girlfriend in 2021, sleeping for a week in his jail cell. And then she wasn't caught until she tried to leave the prison in the middle of a prison riot while wearing a guard's uniform. That's like a comedy skit. Though she was in a guard's uniform, tries to leave and gets busted. This is crazy. Seems like they don't have the best security at the jails. So I don't know what's going to happen, but it's civil war down there. I think they're going to use that as a justification for more stuff at the border. Very interesting, though, how that happens. I wonder how much it makes you kind of wonder how much the I mean, I don't know. I got conspiracy theories.
And now all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I have the best audio soundbite for you coming up, and I'm so excited. I almost can't even handle it. Okay, so all right. Fewer people want to be police, even if you start them at $112,000 a year, because nobody wants to deal with it. Nobody wants to have their life ruined because the city council or a politically appointed chief decides to use you and throw you under the bus because you're enforcing law or trying to deal with the crime that they've created with their bad policies. So they say that they're trying to recruit people. They're still having problems. One department's even looking at $112,000 starting pay, which is crazy. I can't even believe this is a headline. I don't even know how to share. I don't want to share this. This is from Reuters. A Russian singer was detained for appearing before a concert audience. Red Hot Chili Peppers already did this. Wearing nothing but a sock. Right. And not on his foot. And yeah. So
Chili Peppers did it in the 90s.
Yeah, they did that in the 90s. So yeah, let's see here. Red Cross is still not helping Israeli hostage get medicine after shaming family to think of Gazans instead. That actually, there's like video of this. It's crazy. This one woman went 94 days without meds. And the Red Cross was saying, maybe think of the Gazans first. That somebody from the Red Cross actually said that. Okay, coming up. I'm sorry, this is short, but I'm going to make up for it with this soundbite that you're going to hear in moments and you don't want to miss it.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
In addition to record-breaking enrollment for health care coverage through the ACA, thanks to the Inflation Reduction Act, which every single Republican member of Congress voted against, We took on Big Farmer, and we won.
Took on Big Farmer? What? Took on Big Farmer. This is the only time I can play the Kenny Chesney song. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Karine Jean-Pierre went to war with Big Farmer. Jolly Green Giant still repping Big Farmer? Paul Bunyan was the rep. May he rest in peace. And I think it was Jolly Green Giant. Ho, ho, ho. Right? But they told him he couldn't say ho, ho, ho anymore because it was, like, insensitive to, like, promiscuous ladies. So, Big Farmer. Maybe she's actually talking about a large farmer. Maybe they just, had a little dust up. I don't know. Who the hell knows? Can we play her hits here? Because she said some things in the past, KJP, where she might be talking about a large farming person. I don't know. Kane, what's some of the other stuff she said? Remember?
Just so you know, this montage was created nearly a year ago. So it just gives you an idea of how long she's been mispronouncing things.
Uh-huh.
This is.
We're going to try to see if we can get through this without an interruption.
Yeah, listen to all of this.
Emeritus Benedict XVI.
Emeritus. Stop. Wait. She meant emeritus, but emeritus sounds like a nasty foot disease. Oh, what's wrong with you? It's my emeritus.
Ooh,
it's just
an antibiotic for that.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Bicarmel bipartisan support. Dr. John.
So bicarmel? Does that mean two separate types of caramels?
Yes. My favorite kind of caramel.
Not bicaramel. Bicarmel. Bicaramel. That's a fancy way to say caramel. Okay, go on.
John Clauser, who won the Nobel Prize in physics.
Nobel Prize. You know, it is... Kane, we were talking about this. The Nobel Prize is respectable. It's a respectable Nobel Prize. Goes to
say otherwise is just denying science.
Yeah, I mean, it goes to Nobel people win the prize, right? I mean, it is, it's real, R-I-L-L. It is real respectable. The Nobel Prize is, it's noble. It is noble. It is esteemed. It is respected. It's real noble. Go ahead.
Sciences. Okay, the vice president will visit the DMZ. Nearly 70 years since the
that sounds like
Korean
a jeans store. It's the demilitarized zone.
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
The visit using energy, they're weaponizing energy, and it's choosing to one of the things that has been out there, the shutdown the pipeline of Nordstrom 1, instead of risking their lives
Of humans. Now, this is when I'm really going to object, because Nordstrom has some great sales. And now when you shut down the pipeline of those sales, like they have real good sales going on right now. When you shut down that Nordstrom sale, leave the Nordstrom sale pipeline alone. I want the pipeline of sales.
Screw up their supply chain.
I'm telling you, they got some great deals right now on some out of season stuff. Like you can get some stuff up to 70% off. They're not advertising on the show, but hell, they ought to after this point. I mean, the Nordstrom pipeline. If I had a Nordstrom pipeline, can you imagine? Right to your house. Go ahead. Sorry.
Human strugglers.
Human strugglers.
Human. Not smugglers. They're not human smugglers. They're human strugglers.
Like they're aliens? Like struggling to be human?
No, I think they said there's human strugglers.
Like struggling humans?
Yeah.
Well, some days I struggle. Am I a human struggler?
Federally illegal to struggle humans.
What is a struggler? Like, is there any other type of human? Like a lizard struggler? Like that lizard is struggling. Or look at that. Rhinoceros, that's a struggling right now. It's a rhinoceros struggler. It's just struggling really badly. It's a drought or something. I don't know, right? Big Farmer. We went out into the fields and we beat their ass. No, I mean, I'm just Big Farmer.
Juan, you have tyranny?
Because we haven't, tyranny is a serious thing.
I'm sorry. What?
KJP, though, tyranny, this is how she pronounces it.
We will continue to take actions to support Ukraine in their fight for freedom against tyranny and to curb Iran's...
She's like my mom. My mom, don't tell her this. She just basic everyday words. Sometimes I think it's on purpose. Just a random basic everyday word. She will take it and turn it inside out. And you're just, you're like, what? What?
You put the wrong emphasis on the improper syllable.
You have to put the emphasis on this syllable. That's like, I mean, she's not as bad as Jill Biden. Si se puede. She's not as bad as that. Or I have to actually stop and make myself say it wrong. Bogota.
Bogota.
Bogota. But they have like a real problem with language and this administration. Tyranny. You know, like when you tie your shoes. Tyranny. It's a special knot.
So it doesn't come untied when you're running.
So when they said they took on Big Farmer, what does that mean? I mean, kind of. Well, let's look at it, though. They kind of did look at food prices. That's true. They're trying to get you to not eat meat. We took on Big Farmer, the John Deere people. But Big Farmer, though, how you literally mandated pharmaceuticals, a pharmaceutical. How is that taking them on? We demand that you give these people money. Like, you bought them. You bought all kinds of pharmaceutical stuff for the Rona with taxpayer dollars. You gave them billions of taxpayer dollars. How in the hell is that taking them on? I have never take. Is that the new definition of take it? Somebody take me on. Damn. Yes, come take me on. Give me some. This is when AHA comes in. Give me some billions of dollars, please.
This take on of Big Farmer brought to you by Pfizer.
Yeah. Pfizer taking on Big Farmer every day. Oh my gosh. I can't. So that's, I mean, it's unintentionally honest, I guess. I don't know. This is one of my favorite sound bites so far. We're not even a full week into this year and I'm already like, Big Farmer. All right. Spinning G's. Big Farmer. The same. All right. So there's actually other things. I've been so distracted by all the stuff that's been coming out lately that I can't deal. Let's see. Got a couple of other things to hit. Ooh, here's one thing I wanted to hit that it's way back here. Gavin Newsom was spotted in Mexico. Oh, down in Mexicali. Gavin Newsom. He was at the Four Seasons in Tamarindo, Mexico with Bill Clinton. Uh-huh. All these people who are going, oh, Michelle Obama, they're getting her ready to run. No, they're not. Stop it. No, they're not getting that woman ready to run. She's not going to run because it's Gavin Newsom. Gavin Newsom has got more like a... Michelle Obama kind of suffers, not to the extent that Hillary Clinton does, but Michelle Obama has a problem with amiability. That's a big deal. That's something that... And I think actually Gavin Newsom has a little bit of that to worry about with some of the independents in that. What I mean by that is that, you know, when when Bill Clinton ran for president, I was in junior high. And even my hardcore members of my hardcore Democrat family, it was the women too. It wasn't, the men weren't as, they didn't feel as strongly about it as the women did. And I know that there was a lot of discussion about this at the time too. And even later on when she was running for Senate, there was a lot of discussion. She struggled to get people to like her. Even when she was trying to smile and do all that, it was just creepy, right? It's like a devil coming out of the closet at night at the foot of your bed smiling at you. It's like a horror film. It's like, let's stop. You know, stop showing me your razor teeth. It's creepy. But she just does not come off as a likable person. And that, and she doesn't work at it either. And I think some of it is that's something about her personality that she cannot change. But then the other part of it is that she does not police that. And even when, you know, she thinks no one's watching, like when they were at the Chipotle and she kept her sunglasses on, didn't talk to anyone. I mean, you could have used that you were literally in a swing state. You could have used that as like a campaign stop and she didn't do it. Like you have to maximize she didn't do it. And you remember you saw her on that CCTV and nobody even knew that it was her in there until after. And then it looked really bad for her. She just doesn't care enough to even police that part of her personality or to try to improve and make her seem likable. Michelle Obama is like half and half. She came across as more relatable than Hillary Clinton when she was in the White House, but she complains all the damn time. Like, this woman is entitled. Michelle Obama is entitled. She's got a privilege that I do not have. She grew up wealthy. She went to a wealthy school. She came from a she came from a family unit intact. She came from a wealthy family, went to a wealthy school, just like her husband, who was born into a wealthy family, went to a wealthy school. They are both two of the most privileged damn people I have ever seen, especially to my broke rural backside being raised for part of my life by a single mom who worked three jobs and tried to make ends meet. So yeah, mega privileged. And she complains about it all the damn time. Oh my gosh, they complain about their grad student bills. Oh my gosh, they complain about the stuff in the White House. There, you live in a flipping mansion. You fly private. Stop complaining about your life and take some inventory of what you have been blessed with, for the love. And that makes her unlikable. And a lot of people that just, including Democrats, that just strikes them as off. And whenever you have a couple, especially one in public office like this, and one of the what the husband's elected and the wife isn't, you just look, when you complain about everything all the time, it just looks horrible. You look like that wife, that one half of that couple. You just don't want to look like that. And it just, I just don't think it, and I just don't think that she wants to run. I think that she's kind of trying to help out, but not really. I think she's only showing up so that the Obamas cannot be blamed for allowing his VP to have failed, because he is, Barack Obama is very protective of his legacy. And you have to realize that Biden's attached to Obama still, being that that was his VP, even though he can run on the own, his own decisions that he makes while he's president of the United States. However, you have to realize too, that if support for him fades, it's also considered a measure of waning support or maybe influence that the Obamas hold, right? And I feel like that's the only reason why they even show up. It's just like to maintain this, you know, influence. That's it. She has no interest in running. And she has said it before. If she was interested in running, there are a million other things that she would be doing right now that she's not doing. And she has no interest in running. Now, Gavin Newsom is doing the things that you would do if you were going to run. Like if Michelle Obama was going to run, there would be a lot of stunts that she would be setting. She wouldn't just be showing up at a couple places here and there. She wouldn't just be doing interviews on, you know, she did one interview on a podcast and people are like, she's running. She's not. She is just trying to maintain their level of influence. Notice Barack Obama is just totally MIA. He's got way more influence than she does. And he can barely be prevailed upon to say a word in Joe's favor. So, you know, it's she's not running. This is just about them maintaining influence. Gavin Newsom is running. He's right there. And the fact that he's out there with Bill Clinton, because remember, the Clintons and the Obamas they're still not really allies. They're not friends. They don't come from the same camp. You don't see Michelle Obama down there vacationing. You don't see the Obamas vacationing with Clinton. But you see Gavin Newsom vacationing with the Clintons. Now, Bill Clinton still goes out there and fundraises. Barack Obama doesn't really. Bill Clinton still has amiability. He's still considered a likable figure. He just doesn't have as much influence, but he can get the old money folks to open their purses. But they're still going to be competing for influence. But the fact that Newsom's down there with Clinton, that to me is interesting. But Newsom's running, and he's. You know, he does all this stuff to remind everyone I'm still here and I could still step in at any time. I think if, mark my words, if Trump isn't the nominee, they'll switch Biden out. They will switch Biden out. He's only competitive against Trump. That's a fact. You don't have to like me or like what I'm saying. There's just a million polls out there from a span of like a year that show this. He's only competitive against Trump. If Trump is not the nominee, they are going to switch him out, and they're going to switch him out with Newsom. Mark my words. That's why California changed its. That's why the Democrats changed their bylaws. That's why they changed their bylaws, and that's why they're trying to groom other people to come up under Newsom in California right now. Mark my words.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right, so where to start? Let's start with this one. This headline is just all wrong. Everything about this is horrible. A Florida man hides meth in his butt after hitting a paraplegic bicyclist.
Which is worse?
Oh my gosh. I have tears in my eyes. Okay, it was a Ford hatchback that hit the bicyclist, identified as Stephen Watkins. Oh my gosh, Flagler County. The paraplegic bicyclist had been paralyzed from the waist down to a staph infection that he contracted at work. He had minor injuries from the incident, was transported to a local hospital. And the guy who was driving, she looks like a dude. 48-year-old Clara Smith. She looks legit like she's 80. Oh, wow. And she and her passenger, they hit the bicyclist. They didn't stop. And then the police noted that they had damage to their Ford hatchback corresponding with the incident. And she said that she hit a curb. And the crystal-like substance they found in her purse, it was meth. And then they caught it on body camera footage, the guy trying to hide it in his butt. Literally, it was on body cam footage. And they told him to stop that. So they took them into custody. The guy's being held on $8,000 bond. She's being held on $3,500 bond because, you know, he did tried to hide the stuff. Right. Now, let's see. I got a floor. Kane always says old people aren't innocent. A elderly man with a cane tried to rob a bank with a knife in Pensacola. An elderly man tried to rob a Synovus bank. The 74-year-old Randall Digsby walked in with his cane, brandished a knife, and took a small amount of cash. And he was arrested outside the bank at the moment that he hobbled out. So there were no injuries. The stolen money was recovered.
And not all old people are innocent.
It's not my fault you hate old people. Yeah. And then I got this one. A Florida man tried to burn a deputy's face with a meth torch. Oh. Is there like a specific torch for just the meth?
Yeah.
Like, what about like a candle torch? Is that like the same thing? No? Stay with us. Third hour on the way.
Enacted protections for the sanctity of life. I'm the only one that's been able to do that.
Hold on.
No oil money. No oil money.
You know, you live and you learn with these people, right?
All right.
Well, you guys... That was a mistake. You guys didn't get that one right. Okay.
I like how chilly was.
So
and then he goes right back into it. That was Ron DeSantis at the town hall last night, which I think he did phenomenal at, by the way. He just laid out receipt after receipt after receipt after receipt. And I mean, at some point, like everyone was like, okay, we're tired of hearing about all your wins now. Why can't they be the nation's wins? Not just Florida. You guys are stingy with all your wins. But first off, welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Listen coast to coast. You got the simulcast and 347, channel 347 DirecTV is how you can watch the video component of the radio program. Yeah, I thought those were like, they were anti-oil, right? No oil, whatever, protesters that,
oil money. Yeah,
got up there and decided to protest him while wearing petroleum. That's the one thing I never understand, because those are the no oil people with their red and black sign, or they're yellow and black signs. They're like the no oil, no, and they think that if they don't drive a car or buy oil, that they're not using it at all, which is the stupidest thing ever. Notice they all have phones. You know how much petroleum is made? Your phone's made of petroleum. The battery in your phone, petroleum. So they're up there with their phones recording themselves using petroleum while screaming against oil. Their phone batteries use petroleum while they scream against oil. I mean, I'm pretty sure they've used Band-Aids before. Guess what? Yeah, it's made with petroleum. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. I mean, ink, if they print things, guess what? They're signs made with petroleum. They had petroleum they use it. Putties, dyes, pantyhose, you name it. Yarn, everything. Shoe polish, perfume, fishing lures, everything. There is literally petroleum in everything. So shut up. Just go back to nature. That wasn't as dumb, though, as what we saw here. This was in San Francisco. So let me set this up. So there's, I don't know who this is. It's some kind of Gen Z. They don't represent all Gen Z. I saw a lot of boomers in there, hippie boomers, like the bad hippies that were in there. They, this group, I guess San Francisco voted for a ceasefire. And this was their San Francisco Board of Supervisors passed a resolution calling for a Gaza ceasefire. Here were all the ceasefire people there at the Board of Supervisors. Juan has the video. They're like, and they're all wearing face masks. Free Palestine, free Palestine, bunch of terrorist supporters. The guy with the top knot is just stop it. So yeah, they're up there. So San Francisco, they passed a resolution for a ceasefire all the way the hell over in Gaza. Yeah.
So what is this going to do exactly?
Mm-hmm.
What, this 8-3 vote?
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, what is this going to do?
Not a damn thing.
Oh. Yeah. So I was right. Okay.
So it would be like Tel Aviv passing a resolution to clean up all the needles and feces in San Francisco. It would be like I don't even know if Tel Aviv has a board of supervisors, but if they did, it would be like the, you know, whether they exist or not, board of supervisors in Tel Aviv voting, saying, you know what we need to do? We need to affirm a resolution calling for the poop and needles to be cleaned up in San Francisco. And it's amazing because none of the supervisors, they didn't actually vote on a resolution to clean up the poop and needles in San Francisco. That, you know, that's the city that has the literal poop map. I have a friend who left there 4 years ago, her and her husband, and they ended up moving to Nevada. And she's like, she goes, that poop map's no joke. She goes, it's real. She goes, it's updated all the time. I'm like, are you serious? She's like, yes. And sometimes like they'll put notes in it, which I've never actually gone to look at the map and look at all the little individual things. Like, people are obsessive. They will update it. Like, well, it was cleaned up and here's another new load. I'm not kidding you. She's like, that's not a joke. They moved to Nevada. So they live outside of, is it Garland? I've been there before. It's a beautiful area. Anyway, is it Garland? It's like by Reno. They live up there. And of course, yes, they work in tech, but they can also work from home. So she's like, yeah, that poop map is no joke. So like, it's totally real. And she was one of those people who was a moderate Democrat. And I've known her since, gosh, she actually came to a Tea Party thing years ago. And she's always been kind of a moderate. But she's become, because of the crime and that single issue has driven her to become a Republican. But she's like, it's no joke. And it's updated. They updated. It's like an actual thing. That's wild to me. So they didn't actually, the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, they didn't actually like pass a resolution to say, hey, you know the deuce that was dropped down the street outside of the Starbucks? Can we get that cleaned up? Like, can we get somebody to like Clorox wipe it or something? I don't know, like get it out over there. Is it something we can do? They didn't do that. What is the point of this? So they got mad. Let me pull this up. They got mad at one dude. Hold up. One of their, so it was 8-3. They had an hours long discussion. Okay, guys. San Francisco supervisors had an hours long discussion about Israel and Gaza. San Francisco Board of Supervisors. Now, I'm all for people saying, you know, where they stand. But when you're the Board of Supervisors, that's literally your job is like your city business. That's it. Like, none of the national politics or international or geopolitical anything means anything. Just deal with the issues of your city. Did they solve all the issues of their city? And we just not know about it? Did they solve all the issues of crime and homelessness and the deuce dropping and the needles everywhere and the sky high rent and the fact that you can't even buy property there hardly at all anymore? I mean, did they solve all these issues already? No. They didn't. Uh-huh. Oh.
As you alluded to, I mean, they have to update that app all the time. Imagine knowing where all the poop is, but still not being able to keep up with it.
I mean, it's like the people that, it's like Waze, but for poop.
Right.
Unbelievable. So they had a heated, it says hours, KTUV says hours long debate about just the Israel and Gaza thing. And one dude, hold up. One dude, some spoke out, blah, blah, blah. Supervisor Matt Dorsey tried to add words to the resolution to condemn. This is like the Ents in Lord of the Rings, except they're debating over stupid things. They're debating over a little rhetoric. Can we add some words to condemn Hamas? And then that made all the other supervisors mad, and so they debated with him about it for like an hour longer. It is just condemn it. It's stupid to not. They're terrorists. Condemn it. And?
Can the board?
I think the whole damn area is terrorist, if you want to be honest.
Can the board of directors enforce this in any way?
No. What are they going to do? Go over there and be like, we voted. Hey, oh, you just gave me a great idea. I propose here at the board of supervisors on the Dana show. Okay, we're going to vote for it.
All right.
I vote to have me make a proposal. Aye. All in favor? Aye. Aye. All opposed? Shut up. Okay. So here's the proposal. I propose that we send the board of supervisors in San Francisco to Gaza to lecture Hamas about how everyone needs to abide by their decisions. Right? Do we support this proposal?
I support that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Okay. So it's done. It's affirmed. It's confirmed. They need to go over there. We voted. So let's make it happen. So they have to, we voted on it.
Clearly.
Here on the Dana show. So they have to, that's how this works, right?
Clearly our localized, individualized, and had nothing to do with anything vote matters.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Totally. So they got to go over there. And then you had this guy, Alan Burradell, who said there must be language added to make it less offensive.
Oh, my God. Do they know where the offensiveness is? It's the fact that they spent tax dollars doing this.
For hours.
That's what's offensive.
What? Do they? I mean, I just think that there's probably like a lot of other things going on right now there. Can they even walk? I mean, how much you want about one of them walked outside to go back home, slipped on a turbo turd, and just slid all the way down into the bay? How much you want to bet?
It can happen.
Jiminy Christmas. A ceasefire. Maybe have a ceasefire on the pooping outside.
Yes.
Ceasefire them butts. How about that? Ceasefire.
Cease feces.
Cease feces. You need a cease feces resolution. I can't believe they spent all in all. I read one. It was like something. Somebody said that in total they had like 6 hours, 5 to 6 hours of debate.
What?
Dude. You're a board of supervisors for San Francisco. I don't know, man. I just don't know.
Does California, just like the United States, may not need a sec def?
Yeah.
Do they need a board of directors in California?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know that they do. Yeah. Wow. So, yeah, I don't. I don't know. All right. So this, we've been following everything from the Hunter Biden stuff. They have the Mayorkas impeachment trial or impeachment hearing, the inquiry, impeachment inquiry taking place as well. Do we have this? I'm going to pull this up because I want to shift some gears. So you had John Kirby and Peter Ducey. John Kirby was answering a lot of very difficult questions because of the Lloyd Austin stuff. And John Kirby didn't really like it. And we got a two-parter. Here is number one.
Okay, thank you for all the detail on that. But more broadly, why should we believe anything that this administration tells us about anything ever again?
I think we all recognize, and I think the Pentagon has been very, very honest with themselves about the challenge to credibility by what has transpired here and how hard it was for them to be fully transparent with the American people. I think we all recognize that. And wait, now just give me a second now. I know you got another one coming here, but we all recognize that this didn't unfold the way it should have on so many levels, not just the notification process up the chain of command, but the transparency issues. We all recognize that. And I think we all want to make sure we learn from that. I It's up to you and your colleagues, and it's up to the American people to determine, you know, how much they're going to ascribe what happened here to our credibility on every single issue. But in every way, mm-hmm. Secretary Austin has been an exceptional defense secretary, and he still has the full faith and confidence of the commander-in-chief. He has led the department at an incredibly dangerous time for
He's struggling. He's like, listen, Bob, he's struggling. Whoo, boy. We have more to come, too. A lot more on the way. And also the big argument over ID for voting. We've got to talk about that as well, because now Elon Musk entered the chat. And he's also like confused as to why you don't. Not every state requires it. I know.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Scaffolders got revenge on a rude motorist who refused to move a car by barricading him in. This is according to the Daily Star. It was, they took revenge on this dude. This was in Britain. This 23-year-old, they says while working on a property in Birmingham, he and his workers were accosted by a man who they say they politely asked to move from a parking bay because they had the scaffolding over there and they needed to work on this building. And he didn't comply. He said no. And then he told the workers he would tell them the law. And then it was a white Volkswagen. And so they asked him to, because they were unloading these 21-foot-long poles. And they said that, you know, the guy could see that they were doing work. And anyway, so they boxed him in with the scaffolding so he couldn't get his car out. So it's like legit, like his car was in scaffolding. You didn't move your car, so I don't know. Let's see this. A Taco Bell worker slapped an angry customer who blew up his microwave. So, again, on TikTok, this is just the worst of the worst on TikTok. So, they said that a customer who, this is the worst, Dextero is the source, and it's, like, clearly written by people who have no understanding of sentences or how to even write a damn story. I don't even know what the hell's happening anymore. They said, apparently, some microwave blew up because the story is so poorly written by a guy named Mira Jacka. It's so bad. I guess what, they heated up something in the Taco Bell microwave. This is so bad. This is such a bad story. That's such a badly written story. That person needs to be fired. Crawfish boils are illegal in Colorado. When were they not? Yes, apparently. If you had a crawfish boil in Colorado before 2024, it was illegal. They had banned it. Yes, you could not import, transport, or possess crawfish for human consumption. I don't know. They said that state wildlife officials were only aware of it because somebody was cited for illegal importation. I had no clue that you could not have crawfish in Colorado this whole time. And it was like a $91 fine. $91, you know. I had no idea. So it's legal there now? I don't know. California's getting ready to vote on a wealth tax. Of course they are. They're going to drive more people out. It's going to get the first hearing. They have a big budget problem in the state, and they think they can solve it by taxing people more, which never works. Stick with us.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I have a couple things I can share with what the president is doing today. As he always does, he's working around the clock, focusing on the issues that matter to the American people, everyday Americans, obviously.
Yes, because, you know, we put a clock in the middle of the room and he works around it.
It's the only way that statement's believable.
No one believes it. He's been on vacation more than anybody else ever. He's taken more vacation days than literally anybody else. Record number. It's like, what, isn't it over half of his presidency? Something to that effect?
I think it's 40% officially. It was just under 40% for a while. I think it's now 40%.
Oh my gosh. That's pretty wild. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Ooh, man, this, I got a million things to hit, including, I wanted to come back up, because I know we have all the latest with Iowa and everything else to make sure that we touch on. I don't know if you guys know what's happening. We talked a lot about it yesterday. But the other thing is, speaking of Biden, so I saw this. So he's apparently, I think it's his re-election campaign, so it's not the White House doing it, but still. They've begun organizing a bunch of these off the record trips for political reporters and editors to their campaign's headquarters in Wilmington, Delaware. And they've been introducing these reporters to people in the campaign, whether it's the campaign manager, the deputies in the campaign, senior advisors, giving them this info on the background on the Biden strategy, the campaign strategy, and everything else. But one of the things, and I've seen this reported elsewhere, now this is the second place I've seen this reported with their own sourcing, is that they also tell the reporters what they're doing wrong. Semaphore had this, that two people with knowledge of the situation told them that during meetings with reporters from outlets like the New York Times and the Post and others, campaign officials literally brought out a coverage spreadsheet laying out areas where the team believes that these people's reporting and the publication's reporting has fallen short. They said that they want them to focus on more incendiary remarks from Trump. They want the campaign to focus on, going at like attacking Florida more. They want the campaign. They said no one talks about apparently Biden's victories, which does he have any? Oh, Big Farmer, don't forget. So he's meeting in the coming days, the Biden campaign and staff. They're apparently scheduled to meet in the coming days with reporting teams from ABC, NBC, Wall Street Journal, Fox, NPR, Reuters, Bloomberg, and others. And they all go to Wilmington. So they're bringing them up there to read them the riot act. Interesting. Now, speaking of the Bidens, Hunter Biden's stunt, his art dealer, do you remember how we were told that they were going to have like this firewall up and that no one is going to know who's buying Hunter's stuff, right? Hunter Biden's Manhattan art dealer said Tuesday, though, that he never worked with the White House on an ethics pact to ensure buyers would remain anonymous. That's what the White House said, though. The White House said that they had an ethics agreement with the dealer so that no one could accuse them of pay for play. He said that, Hunter Biden knew who the top purchasers were. The art dealer came out and said that. Now, this was interesting because going back to, when was this story? Let me go back. This was back in February of last year. Hunter Biden's art dealer refused to give names of buyers to the House committee investigating all of this. And that was what James Comer had said. They said that they had refused, art dealer George Burgess refused to comply with the committee's demands to see records of clients who purchased Hunter's work. And they were assured by the White House and everybody else that there was this ethics agreement in place that prevented Hunter and the Biden family from knowing who was buying Hunter's art. Now he's saying something literally entirely different. New York Post, this is just this morning. They wrote this. They said that Hunter Biden's Manhattan art dealer said he never worked with the White House on the ethics pact to ensure that buyers would remain anonymous and that Hunter Biden knew all the top purchasers. Of course he did. And Burgess also said that in addition to the lack of supposed anti-corruption safeguards, that he met and spoke on the phone with the president while representing Hunter Biden. Now, this is the transcript. Remember how Hunter Biden won't sit for transcription? This is customary. This is the transcription of he was subpoenaed in front of the House Oversight Committee, and this was his deposition. The art dealer said that Hunter Biden knew who bought 70% of his art. 70%. And he also said that he personally interacted with Joe Biden on multiple occasions. Huh. Now, remember, all of this is part of the impeachment inquiry that looks into whether or not the older Joe Biden was involved with his son's work. Wow. So Burgess said that, Hunter was aware of all this. In fact, one of the top, he said Hollywood lawyer Kevin Morris bankrolled Hunter's living expenses, tax payments. That was his top patron. He bought $1 million worth of art in a January 2023 deal. I mean, his stuff is not good. It's so stupid. This is just crazy. He, of course, he paints spit flowers. The easiest. I'm going to paint flowers. It's never been done before. How do these people, by the way, get these contacts? So this Hollywood lawyer guy, like, I'm just trying to figure out how in the world that he got $5 million from Kevin Morris. $5 million from this Hollywood lawyer over 3 years. And that's according to the IRS agent that investigated him. They called him his sugar brother. He only met him in 2019 and he got $5 million from him over 3 years. Morris paid off a $2 million tax bill for Hunter and purchased a bunch of his work, which goes to show you right there, that's all a money laundering thing. He's purchasing art. You don't think he was just like, wow, I'm so moved by the spit art, I'm going to buy it. It was just another way for him to give him more money. So technically he gave him $6 million. He just decided to, quote unquote, produce, you know, to paint so he could claim that it was for a service. He was there with him today, too. I don't know if you saw him. Kevin Morris was there with Hunter Biden today. At when he was leaving, you could see him. He's got the longer hair. He kind of looks like, I don't know how to say it. He's like this, he looks like he's on drugs. But he was there with him at the hearing today. Insane. His sugar brother. $6 million he gave him. He's the guy who's in the plaid jacket. He's older and he looks like he's had a rough life and his hair has all come back. He's also the guy who was smoking out of a bong on his balcony literally the day before. He was going to be in court, right? Oh my gosh, I can't. And Hunter Biden, he was mad. He sat there and he was ticked the whole time. So this was all, I think the fact that this guy that he bought art, I think it just goes to show you that this was all just a giant money laundering scheme. He gave him $6 million basically. So how do you meet somebody in 2019 and you convince them to give you $6 million in 3 years? Clearly doesn't have any self-respect. How do you approach somebody to do that? How do these people do that? How do they get people to bankroll them? It's like the John Edwards thing. John Edwards had Bunny Mellon bankroll and everything for him. Like no self-awareness, no nothing. It's just so weird. By the way, all Hunter stuff looks the same. It is so stupid. None of that's good work. $1 million. $1 million. But so everything that this art dealer is saying is antithetical to everything that the Bidens and their attorneys told the House committee. And apparently he sold a lot more in art than what they told the House committee. They were previously saying, oh no, they only sold a couple, you know, they sold five prints, you know, just for, you know, some, a couple $1,000. Oh my gosh, it was a lot more than that. So now you understand why they want him to go and speak to the House, give a deposition, have it transcribed, because you want it to be clear, you want it to be orderly, and you want it to be, you know, actually not run like a circus. They need to have an understanding of this stuff. This is how they always do it, because this otherwise, it's not going to be a hearing. It's going to be like that nonsense that you heard earlier today. And it'll be further, you know, compromised by people looking to do viral video moments for themselves. There's a reason why they do that. Now, one of the other big stories, I don't know how New York City is going to stay blue. People are still going to vote for this. Have you seen the footage of the illegal immigrants that are sleeping on the floor? They took over a Brooklyn school. They kicked the kids out of the classes. So, and moved in 2,000 people who crossed into the country illegally. It's James Madison High School in Brooklyn. And they're home today. And it's because they shut their school down to shelter the illegal immigrants that came into the city. Is that not unbelievable? And the parents are livid because they just got their kids back in school. I mean, so they said, oh, the kids are doing remote learning. Well, we've learned that doesn't work. We've also learned that this does irrevocable harm to kids. And so now they sent them home. One of the moms said, my child texted me at 1 o'clock yesterday saying that tomorrow school is out and they're going to have remote learning because they have illegal immigrants sleeping in the auditorium at the gym and at the gym. And now the parent, I mean, I'm honestly, some of the people who were voting for this, who voted for this now are mad about it. She said, you know, we're not against migrants, but this is illegal. You know, crossing the border and everything that's affecting all of us, it's affecting our kids. Wow. How do you think that the kids in the border towns have felt for like the past 20 years? How do you think the families in border towns have felt to watch their resources be absorbed by people crossing the country illegally because Democrats and Republicans in D.C. won't do anything about it? So, yeah, they've shut that school down. Taxpayers fund the school. They shut the school down for the illegal immigrants. Sanctuary city. You know, that's what you get. They were real proud about it being a sanctuary city. Eric Adams was there. They started moving some of the illegal immigrants back to the shelter that they had them at because the parents were apoplectic. Eric Adams was there yesterday looking at it. They got a picture of him in the gym. I mean, that's what y'all wanted. You all wanted that. You lived large on the virtue signaling of being a sanctuary city. And then when you got to deal with it, you shut down your kids' schools. It's just wild.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
You're a parent in Brooklyn. You probably got a lot of single moms who are the breadwinners, so they've got to work during the day. Your kids are supposed to go to school. And then someone tells you, sorry, your kids have to stay home. Why? Was there some type of real significant storm or some emergency? Was there a flu outbreak? Well, why are they having to stay home? They're having to stay home because the state government is commandeering, or the city government is commandeering, the school to house illegal aliens. You talk about putting Americans last. You're having these kids, you're depriving these kids of in-person education to be able to house people that don't have a right to be here to begin with. That's Joe Biden's America in a nutshell.
I mean, that's true. That was DeSantis speaking about that. He gave the State of the State speech in Florida. Yesterday? I think it was just yesterday. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. I mean, we saw and we've gone over before all of the studies that showed how detrimental remote learning and all of that was to kids over lockdown, and how it didn't just really damage them academically, but it hurt them emotionally, mentally. And that school's doing it again so they can. I mean, that is just that's unbelievable. What are people there paying their taxes for? But at the same time, there's a reason why that area votes overwhelmingly Democrat. They like that stuff. But how are you honestly a Democrat when you vote for things that you expect other people to subsidize or other people to live with? You're not voting to live those policies. You're voting just to so that you can brag about yourself. It's a brand for people. It is a brand. They want to advertise that they care about people who are struggling, or they care about the less fortunate. But when it comes down to it, they don't really. I mean, the fact that you would have to vote to make the government force you to be kind or charitable is wild. But that's way much more than this. This is people voting to be charitable with other people's resources. So I kind of like want to ask them, why did they vote for it if they didn't like this kind of stuff? Why was there no outrage when the governor and the mayor and the mayor before that mayor and the mayor before that mayor was advertising the city as a sanctuary city and then trying to say, well, we said we're a sanctuary city, so I guess you hate immigrants because you won't claim that. Sanctuary is a sanctuary from the law. It's a sanctuary from reason, which I don't think is a sanctuary. It's a hell. This is wild. All right. Today in stupidity. Kane, what do we got?
Oh, boy. Well, yeah, Chris Matthews. This is what...
Oh, my gosh. Is he back? I forgot he was alive.
Yeah. Anyway, let's just play what he said. Juan, it's cut nine if you want to play cut nine for us there.
Because, you know, this election is going to be close. And it's going to be very close to a place like Pennsylvania. And you're going to have rural people out there voting their craziness rural about people. The cult. So you better be there to match them. And you got to be there to vote against that. And I'm telling you, this is really important that you vote for your rights.
You got to match the rural vote, the crazy rural
going
vote.
Going after rural people and Big Pharma all in one day. I don't even know what I think. Noted, Kane's like, we're only 10 days into this new year. We've already had like cartel taking over Ecuador, Big Pharma, the Hunter. I mean, all of this stuff. Folks, make sure you sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Have a great night. I will be back with you tomorrow.